I want to review this real quickly, and we have three statements to make this morning out of scripture that I want to do. And so we're having a conversation right now about identity, sexuality, and gender. And so far, we spent about 6 or 7 weeks talking about identity. And we are on the way to a conversation where we really seek in God's heart. We're looking for more than just correct information. We're seeking God's heart. What does he have to say about sexuality? What does he have to say about gender? Now, this whole conversation is in recognizing that for the most part, we as a church have not done a good job having a clear sound in the midst of a very noisy situation, right? So I just tried something yesterday. It was in the middle of, we had 130 people at the wedding, and people were hollering different people's names, like, you know, hey, Adrian! Didn't say yo, Adrian! You know, like, so there's a lot of different people just yelling for people, and I just tried it. I said, Marco! And someone's like, Polo! That always happens. When I say Marco, someone says Polo. If I walk down the street and I say Bush, usually no one responds to me at all. Unless it's Bush, he's there. Hey, Bush! Hey! But guys, in the midst of noise, there's something important about the clarity of our sound. And the church has not necessarily done a good job of having a clear sound when it comes to these things. So we're praying, God, help us discover your heart so what's happening in us produces a clear sound. It reflects your heart and reflects your truth. Okay? We agree with there? I'm trying to stay focused. So what we're doing right now is we're building a bridge between identity and these things of sexuality and gender. And so we are taking time to look at the book of Ephesians and allow that to help us be a bridge as we look at what God has to say about the body. Now again, sometimes it's talking about the body, it's talking about the body of Christ. And sometimes it's talking about the body and it's talking about our physical body. Sometimes Paul says things like, hey, you think I'm talking about a man and a wife. I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. And so we need to understand as Paul was addressing this stuff, he went back and forth between the physical and the spiritual because they're very connected. Be with me. All right, I'll just stay tuned in. Let's lean in this together and move through this, okay? Don't show back. Lean in. Okay? Let's do this. So we discovered, and what I just said about the body, it's actually a significant thing that's talked about a lot in Scripture. That word soma is used, I believe, 144 times in the New Testament. This is not a topic that comes up only once or twice. We're not reaching here. This is actually something that's talked about a lot. But because, as Gabe said a couple weeks ago, we tend to read Scripture very much through an individual eye versus understanding what God is saying to us collectively as a family. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So last week, we talked about a lot. We're going to highlight three things that we talked about last week to try to get us launched into this. We started in Romans 12 to give us a basis for this. And we said before we get to Romans 12, too, talking about the transformation coming by the renewing of our mind, but in Romans 12, 1, there's this call to present our bodies as a holy and acceptable offering. And beginning to really consider what this body is and what this body is as holy and acceptable to God is important us being able to walk in transformation ourselves. But how many of you say, I don't want to just experience transformation. I want to become a seed of transformation. I don't want to just have it for me. I want to have it so strongly in me, it's natural to see the fruit of that happening around me. Guys, that's why this morning I just felt, like, I hope I didn't mess the worship team's plans up, but I just felt like, let's just stay here. Let's let this seed get down deep so it gets rooted in us. I would rather have something like that rooted in us than to have this amazing, glorious worship center. We're singing 3 or 4 more songs and saw different aspects of God. I was like, no, we're focused right here, so let's stay here. That makes sense. So we got to stay here in the sense of, like, get into a place where we consider our bodies a holy, acceptable offering. Because as we transition over to Ephesians chapter 1, we find out that God's plan for the body is it's connected to the head. And so even as I regard our church, how many of you find it really easy to recognize the places that we're not perfect? Raise your hand. Right? How many of you find it easy to recognize the place where the body of Christ at large is not perfect? Right? But if I will get my life focused on the fact that the body is connected to the head, I can move into a place of God, make us more connected to you, but man, if I see the body is connected to the head, I'll be much more mindful of my criticism. I mean, it's disrespectful for me to say, you got a pretty face, but that's what we're doing about the body of Christ. We can say, Jesus, I love you, but I can't stand your people.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but that's the reality. He is so committed to us. He doesn't give an option for you to love him and not love each other. As a matter of fact, he says, we are liars if we say that we love God and we don't love our brothers. But how many of you can just say it's a lot easier to love Jesus than a worship song? I mean, if we had worship songs about the body, it would be a lot harder. I mean, this is the era where we would have a new meaning to it if we were considering a body. Because a lot of us have things we think don't smell very good about the body. We can kind of turn our nose off the edge. But he is wanting us to see him connected. He's wanting us to see the body connected to the head. Anybody join me and say, God, sometimes that's a stretch. Anybody? God, I'll pray. God, can help us to think what you think. Because he doesn't stop there. He actually goes further. He says, in Ephesians chapter 1, that he gave Christ to be the head to the church, the body, the fullness of him. This is what we're called to. This is what we're created for. To walk and put on display the fullness of him. And then we also said last week that all of this is not for us. All of this is for the praise of his glory. So, David, can you pray for a second? I love David. I met David, I believe, in January 2011. Does that sound right? And that night that I met him, baptisms taking place in my living room, baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. And I get to know him now, 2017. And we have shared some moments together. We have shared some good moments together. We have shared some hard moments together. But I want you to hear me. As much as I love David, and as much as my heart is both leaping with excitement to see him and Candace take their next steps, it is already aching and missing. But if my commitment to love David is only based on my ability to be a good man or David's potential as a person, then that is not the fullness of love. But if my commitment to love David and to be loved by David is rooted in the fact there's something that Jesus gets glory from whenever I walk in relationship that is right and holy, then that's worth laying my life down. Do you hear what I'm saying? If this thing that we're trying to do becomes about us and becomes about a life that is for us, then we've missed it. Now, there are benefits. How many of you can tell, how many of you married couples can tell, Jake and Sydney, that there are benefits to marriage? Come on now. But it's not for you. I mean, there's benefits for you, but it's not for you. It's for the praise of God. So when I'm struggling in a relationship, have you ever struggled?
Yeah.
Yeah, we struggle. Probably. We've never not loved each other. But when we struggle, if I know that there's something bigger, for the praise of his Lord, that makes it more worthwhile. How have you ever been in a relationship with someone you know you need to have a relationship with? You think, I just don't know if it's worth it. But the glory of God is bigger. Right? Does that make sense? So whenever scripture says, keep the unity of the Spirit, it doesn't say make the unity of the Spirit or create the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't say find those who are compatible and follow Jesus with them. Listen to me.
That's good.
God created us to connect for his glory. God created the body. God created a man and a woman to connect in the places that they're not the same. Compatibility is way overrated. It's learning that I belong together to Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, we'll move on. Thank you, David. We're going to move on. So let's talk about the body this weekend and turn to Ephesians if you're already there, I want to look at the very end of chapter 2. What we're going to do is just look at a couple things in chapter 3. There's three things in chapter 3 that will get us and lead us to next week, where we're going to really look at what Scripture says to us and how we relate to each other. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, there's a lot of instructions given to individuals for how we relate to each other as a body. So as you're reading it this week and meditating on this week, be looking for that and be aware of that. But this is the definition from, I think it's Merriam-Webster's definition. The physical structure of a person, including the bones, the flesh, and the organs. Now, it's really interesting in Scripture that it talks about different parts of a body. But sometimes, when I'm thinking about body parts, I'm like, well, what part am I the hand? Am I the shoulder? But I think if we had a better understanding of Scripture, we would know that there is that aspect. But there's also the body is a very cellular thing. It's not that I'm the hand and David is the bicep, although he does have. But I am connected. Each joint supplies the need together. Each cell is connected. Does that make sense? Remember this again. I'm not trying to be abstract, but I think we need to remember this. How many bodies of Christ are there? There's one. There's not one for every decade. You know, it's not like we're not in like the Body of Christ yearbook, 2017. There's only one body. That means we're part of the same body of Christ as the Apostle Paul was. The way God created the body is it's renewable. Those cells are renewable. Who's in the science? How long does it take for a body cell, a piece of skin, for it to be renewed? Anybody remember? Do you know this?
I learned this in science class. Like animals have cells that are like both different, but different cells are not different from them two.
So the fact that we all have cells, right? And how many of you have ever gotten a boo-boo before? Why does the boo-boo go away? The body was made to heal itself. Hey, good news. For all of our junk, God designed the body to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And he's coming back for a bride who's made herself ready. Can you hang with me? So we're connected. What do you want to say, David?
I'm just going to come with the blood of the brother if you feel the rest. The church gets cut, and there's a wound, the missionaries that go to fill that gap are like the cells that are doing that with your body.
I'm gonna say, yeah, you're scared of something. Like, man, as we see, like, wow, we are walking in a journey. Actually, Hebrews 11 and 12 teach us this. At the end of Hebrews 11, after it goes through all these amazing men and women of faith in Scripture, and then it says, hey, but they're waiting for us to receive the fullness of their reward. Because we are finishing the journey. There's still a greater reward that's getting amassed. Because we're all a part of the same race. So, in the body, and the body of Christ, we need to understand some things from Scripture if we're going to make this bridge from identity, because we're talking about our identity as a body over to sexuality and gender. All right, so, number one, the design of the body was meant to destroy division. The design of God's body, if you've been reading Ephesians, you'll see this over and over and over again. We're going to start at the end of chapter 2. Look down at verse number 19. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, we have at the end of chapter 1, this idea of the church is the body, the fullness of him. And here he is saying at the end of chapter 2, that, hey, we are all being fit together into one house. We are being built together, Peter said it like this, as living stones. As living stones, we are being put together piece by piece in a way that God's going to come and fill. Now, I wish we had time to go through and break down everything that Ephesians has to say about this issue. But listen, we think that there is tension between racial groups today. Listen, Paul was speaking to Gentiles. hide in the wall and make us one new man so we're all part of the same body. Today, there's so many different ways the body gets divided. We divide denominationally. How many of you can say this? It's easy to think, oh, there's a Methodist doctrine and a Presbyterian doctrine and a Charismatic doctrine and a Baptist doctrine. Put your hand up if you can find it easy to think that way. How many of you know there's only one true doctrine? We're still on our way to discovering more about Jesus, right? So I'm not saying we've got it, but there's not like truth for this group and then a different set of truths for this group. Ephesians says, no, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit. We allow division to come, but the design of God's body actually was meant to bring us together so that we're not walking in our differences and identifying our differences, but we're identifying as one, right? Identifying in a design that leads us as one. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create to himself one new man from us two, making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. How do we become reconciled to people who are different than? Through the cross. All right. Bold. How many of you personally, I'm not asking if you have a friend or you knew someone, but how many of you personally, during the last election cycle, had a friend or family member that you found yourself at drastic odds with about the way that they view politics or view that election cycle? Now listen, the scheme of the enemy is to sow division into relationship. There are people I really love that saw things differently. My reconciliation does not come because I was able to convince them to think like me. How many of you reconciled in those relationships because you convinced the person to think just like you? Anybody? Seriously. So what does that leave us? It leaves us either walking in division or recognizing I'm not united with you because we all agree, or we agree all the time. I'm united with you because of the cross. And so David and I can have conversations and recognize there are things we don't agree about, or we can just be going through life and have a place where there's something that wants to come between us, but as long as we remember and we are committed to Jesus, and that makes us committed to each other. So there is a design to God's body that was meant to put on display the destruction of division. Us learning how to walk that out with each other. Us learning to choose Jesus in the midst of disagreements. Doesn't mean that we don't ever deal with the issues. It means we're always elevating the person of Christ beyond our disagreement. Yes, Dave.
What you're saying is our common identity is greater than the differences that can come up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. David, can you come real quick, give me like 2 minutes on the race of Adam and the race of Christ?
Yeah.
Because this applies a whole lot more to ethnicity.
This is our plan. Our church. One of the main things that really sticks out to me, I've been working through Ephesians and just in general trying to come to a place of understanding how we are connected in the cross, is that there's so many different things that we let supersede our common identity, our common connection as Christians. So we'll say, hey, like, yeah, me and Hannah are both Christians, but like she's a white woman and I'm like a black or biracial man. And so there's things that we'll just always miss each other and connect on, or disconnect on, not be able to connect on. But like that's a lie, because there's really like, so race itself is just like a constructed concept. And like when the Bible refers to race, it talks about there's only two races. There's the race of Adam, which are people who are in sin, and then there's the race of those who are in Christ, which are those who are forgiven and accepted Jesus' blood and are now united in this new way. We're new citizens. We're not even citizens of earth anymore. We're citizens of heaven. And so, like, me and Hannah, what we need to do then to bring that, because we've been given a ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
We've been given a ministry of making things new. It's like, all right, so you might have this one set of experiences from New Hampshire, right? And I'm going to have this one set of experiences from Washington, Pennsylvania. So maybe there's good things about your culture and the way that you were raised that I need to learn from it, and vice versa. But what we need to seek for even above those things is the culture of heaven that we're now a part of. Like that kind of absolute truth, that kind of absolute thing where unity comes from. Because that is the only place where true unity can really find.
Right, and so that's just kind of just a little cheese. Over and over in scripture, we hear things like set your mind on things above. Why? Because if I'm acclimating my thought life to the pattern of heaven, then no matter what those things that would present themselves as differences, we can find a commonality if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness. If I'm seeking first God's kingdom, but actually I'm seeking my agenda and calling his kingdom. That is a very different thing.
Yeah.
When, so I didn't say this earlier, but Cam's dad is Bishop Clay. I talked a lot about him. One of the reasons I knew that I was going to be really good friends with Bishop Clay, the first conversation we're talking about, he says, yeah, what man calls race, and he just kept going. I said, wait, go back. What do you mean? He said, well, what man calls race, God calls nations. We have all these amazing things in scripture, promises about all nations. He is the desire of all nations. We think about like as countries. That's not what that word is. That word is what we call race.
Yeah.
It's the word ethnos. And so like, as there's so many more ways just beside ethnicity this happens. But let's say denomination. Yeah, I had someone recently. They were concerned that like if they came around us that we were going to try to make them into something. And I'm like, that's not our agenda. Our agenda is not to turn you into something else. Our hope is we can point you to Jesus. And our hope is we can encourage you and let you grow stronger in your faith. And if we do it right, then we'll get to receive something too.
Yeah.
But that takes humility. That takes coming into a relationship being vulnerable. Right? How many of you love Lindsay?
Yes, Lindsay!
Yeah!
How many of you know, like, Lindsay could have found someplace else when she came to grow city. She could have found someplace else to worship. How many of you know that, like, while she's happy to have found us, like, we are happy she found us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's something she brings in. She's never gotten on the mic and given a word or an exhortation, but there's something that she brings to us by being a part of us that we would miss out on if she wasn't here.
Yeah.
So, how many of you have deep conversations about all her political views? How many of you know her doctrinal stance on internal security? But how many of you recognize we belong to her?
Good,
Brent. Right? And so it's like we should always be moving toward connection in the body. Does that make sense? Alright, let's move on. So say that the body of Christ, say this with me, was designed to destroy division. Say designed to destroy division. Alright, number two. The body of Christ was meant to display perfected wisdom. It was meant to display perfected wisdom. Look at Ephesians 3. And we're going to look down here and just lost my verse. Okay. Look at verse number 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which we accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord.
What?
What's that?
The eternal purpose of the Lord.
That he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, we were just praying for Sydney and Jake that God's plan and his wisdom and his design for marriage would get put on display. I remember David and I were talking about this a couple months ago. It's like we have access to something the world doesn't have access to. Because it has been the eternal purpose of God to make his wisdom known through you and me and through his church. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean? Lord, that you have access to something as a part of his church that the world doesn't have access to. The putting on display is not only our opportunity, but we have a level of responsibility.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up in a circle where it was easy for the church to criticize Hollywood for the destruction of family values. Let me give you a hint. Hollywood was never given the stewardship of the family.
That's good.
If I look at Washington and say that Washington is responsible for the direction of the country, I miss the fact that we have something, we have access to something as a church that God never intended for a human government to have access to. I would love it if a human government were free to put all that on display, but it's not the government's responsibility to replace the church. It is our responsibility to put him on display. So, we can't want to see that happening in the macro areas of life without living it out in our relationship with each other. I know people who get all upset about the political division in our country, and yet we're like having relationships where gospel is present. That doesn't even make sense. Knowing people who get upset because of political division and our nation, and then we'll be willing to get into conversations where we're gossiping about each other. We have an opportunity to do the opposite. I have an opportunity, the way that I love Butch and Lori, and someone says something about them that I know I shouldn't listen to, the way that I can love them and put on display the wisdom of God is by having a godly attitude in the midst of that kind of moment. I might get a chance to put on to display to my neighbor who doesn't like Butch, hey, you know what? I don't know the proper speaking of Butch and Lori, but man, I love them up here today. I'm not gonna listen to you talk about them.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Someone came up to Adrian yesterday that I don't know if Adrian ever had a conversation with. And this girl came up to her and said, you don't know the impact that you and Brad have had on us. We had an impact, not because we were trying to have an impact. Our lives were speaking something.
Mm-hmm.
Your life speaks something. Sarah, the way you handle a situation with George Jr. that is different than the way someone else would handle a situation, is a chance to put together on display the wisdom of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The way we resolve conflict, the way we're able to have conversations that are difficult, the way we're able to move in love with each other, gets a chance to put on display the wisdom of God. And there's a principle in Scripture, that when we're faithful to what he's given us, then he'll give us more. Don't allow your ambition and desire, that I think is God's heart, to see society change, be disconnected from this call to walk out and put on display the wisdom of God in the relationships that you have right now.
I think Hollywood and government and society, they're all the church.
So every place that we can complain against God has a heart to put on display through his people. Through his people. He's always had, listen, Trump said day one, since before day one, he's always had a plan for darkness. What is it?
Light.
Light.
Yeah.
He's not intimidated by darkness. He just says, let there be light. We just gotta like say yes to it. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. I'm gonna try to tell this as quick as I can and we'll move on to the next thing. We're driving down the road on Monday, and Georgie and Winnie had asked us to read a copy of Winnie's new book, and so we're in the process of doing that. And Abigail says, hey, Dad, can you hold on? I think God's talking to you. Now, for most of you who know Abigail, that probably isn't shocking that she would think God's speaking to her. It wasn't like, oh, I have a prophetic gift now, and I'm going to like get a prophetic word from the Lord. It's like a conversation, relationship, she's hearing from God. Is that normal? Is that
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? That kind of thing. Now, before we go on to say what happens, how many of you believe that God wants to speak to his people?
Yeah.
Just raise your hand up, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, this should be part of our everyday experience. That's what this was. This was just, hey, I think God's talking to you. Okay, well, honey, what's he saying? Well, this thing God's saying, there's a reason why he's giving me a heart for the nations. I need to trust him for connections. Okay, that's good. That's not all. He says that his heart is burning on fire for Egypt. Okay? It's a little more specific. She said, yeah, God says he's going to connect me to Egyptians. And he's going to teach me Egyptian, or whatever language they use. I'm like, oh, honey, that's really cool. She said, and he's going to use my love for acting and for music to help open doors in Egypt. Okay, honey, that is really good. You should write that down. Why do you need to write that down? I just told you I'm wrong. I said, hey, because 10 years, when God starts to do something about this, you're going to want to be able to pull out your journal. So we go on through a day. We just had a fun time listening to Adrian. Adrian is a really good reader. If you guys are having a bad day sometime, call her up so she can read your story. Very soothing. Your blood pressure will drop. We had a good day listening to her reading, worshiping, talking. We get to where we're going. We meet about the book. And then we go see Georgian, which, by the way, sends his love to our little family here. And we're there, and he looks at Abigail and he says, "Hey, if you're bored by our conversation, you can go hang out with the students at the school." And so Abby leaves, and we were hanging out, and our conversation ran over a little bit. So worship for the school starts, and we realize, oh, we gotta go. So Adrian and I go, and Georgia's at seats all saved for us, and he's introducing us to people. And I look around, I'm like, wait, I don't know where my daughter is. So I'm looking, like, this is a bunch of people worshiping to see if she's in the middle of the worshipers. And Georgia's assistant, Karen, said, where would she be? I said, well, she's not in the middle. She's probably, like, someplace on the side, either journaling or worshiping or something. And so we go looking for her, and then Adrian comes in, and there's a room at that church that's just a little prayer room. That's a different room that we were in. And she said, I found her. She's over in the furnace. So we go over to the furnace, or I go over to the furnace, and Abby's in there leading worship in the furnace. And I thought she'd be there by herself. I walked in, there's like 6 or 7 people there, and Abby's just worshiping. I thought this was kind of cool. And then I walked back out to kind of collect my thoughts about what we should do, and I noticed there was somebody else signed up to lead worship at that spot. And so I went up and I whispered to Abby, like, hey, I think someone else is supposed to lead worship. And so we walk out, and we walk into the room, and she says, Dad, I just wanted to be by myself and, like, worship God. I don't really want to be in here right now. And there's probably, like, 100 people in Georgian school worshiping. You can imagine what that looked like. Not, like, worshiping by yourself. Quiet and reflective time. I said, well, honey, let's practice. I said, today you practice journaling. I said, let's just practice. Dad thinks you should stay in here. Can you just stay in here and try to put your heart on God in the middle of lunch? She said, okay. And she's like, sometimes Abby has a good attitude, sometimes she does not have a good attitude. But this time she had a great attitude. So I walked down, I'm sitting there. Georgie's introducing me to the guy who's the head of the school. He's talking to me, and I watch Abby come down. And she's just like beaming, and he says something to me. I turn around, and Abby has wrapped herself around this woman that I have no idea who she is. And she's doing it from the back. Like, she was just like, you know, she was taller than the woman, you know, so I think that was all along. I'm just watching, like, okay. After a couple minutes, Abby reaches around and whispers something. And it was one, I don't know what she whispered, but this is what the woman did. I just want to know what's going on. And Abby's like excited, they're both excited, and the pastors of the school are standing right in front of them, and then they get excited. And Abby says, Daddy, guess what? I said, what? I said, I was just hugging her, and I felt like God told me to tell her that he had a plan for her in the nations and in Egypt. And she turned around, and she's Egyptian. Wow. And guess what, Daddy? She's an Arabic teacher.
Wow. That's crazy.
Who's a musician? And she wants to teach me Arabic. She has 2 CDs. She wants to teach me Arabic. Listen, God designed the body to put on display a wisdom that we don't have access to. How many of you have been involved in a situation where I just can't make this up?
Yeah.
Yes. I just can't make this up. That's our lives are meant to display that he is greater. Yeah. In the midst of the most broken situation, in the midst of nations that are hungry, he has a plan. There's this little girl who had been made a slave and taken into the house of the general, who was stricken with the disease of leprosy. And he is looking for all the best options. And she says, there's a man of God in Israel. If you can get to the man of God in Israel, he can take care of the problem. Why do I get surprised when God speaks? river. What if God wants to show you how deliverance can come to a people, or how hope can come to a people? It will take humbling ourselves to recognize that we have been called to steward something the world doesn't have access to. Guys, if we take that from a place of arrogance, then we've missed the point. It's not that we're better than the world. It's we are connected to the heart of God who gave everything for the salvation of the world. I don't think it's an accident that the word body comes from the word for salvation. He has designed through his body to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance. And we have an opportunity to say, God, in our humility, we lay it down and we give ourselves to you. Say, display perfected wisdom. And the last thing is discover the dimensions of his love. This is going to really lead us into our time for next week, so I won't spend much time here. But look at the end of Ephesians 3. Guys, I want you to listen to the relationship that God designed for us to have. I will tell you, for me growing up, I didn't understand how biblical it was to focus on the love of God. It was almost like his love is there. It's like, whether I feel it or not, it's there. And that's true. I'm so appreciative for what Cody said this morning. I love the fact that I am encouraged and instructed to command my soul to bless the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord when he didn't have strength. Why? Because he didn't make a choice to do that. Even when he felt he could strengthen himself in the Lord. All right, last scriptures here. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Guys, there's so much here. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You feel weak? Just pray this prayer. God, come strengthen me with might in my inner man by your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Say, rooted and grounded. The relationship he wants to have with you in love starts with this idea of rooting and grounding. Submit yourselves to the seeds of his love. That's how roots develop. Roots develop because I've made myself vulnerable to the seed. Does that make sense? Rooted and grounded in love, keep going. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Say, with all the saints.
With all the saints.
Guys, I, for years, quoted this next part in my prayers to God. I wrote worship songs to God on this next part, but I always pictured it as my relationship with him. But together, with all the saints, that I may comprehend what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Does somebody have a different translation or a different word for comprehend?
Grasp.
I am to be rooted and grounded in love, and I am to grasp the fullness of dimension. That's what's laid out for us here. How long, how wide, how deep is his love? How do I do that? Together. It was the God's design in the body. We're discovering that together. There's something about loving Aaron. It's not just about getting to know a person. It's about getting to know more of the love of God as I grow in love with other parts of his body. Does that make sense? Shane, come here. I've had conversations with Shane in different seasons of her life. But like, I get to watch God do things in Shane right now that are different than the things he's doing in me. He's shown up somewhere here, so, right? I mean, like, times where she'll, like, pray for this and he'll answer with this.
Come on.
And like, I was designed to grow in my understanding about the love of God, not just by how he answers my prayers, but how he answers the prayers of those I'm connected to. Yeah. As a matter of fact, in times when I may be praying and don't see him moving the way that I need to be moving, if I'm connected properly, instead of being jealous and upset whenever he answers her prayer, I say, oh God, each joint supplies the need of the other. You are not a respecter of any person. And I can rejoice whenever I see her get 4 promotions.
Come on!
In the midst of me wanting to wondering what's going on in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not just this abstract thing. I was created to know more about God's love. By the way, I love Katie, and I'm loved by her. By pursuing you, and you pursuing me, is not about me being a nice guy. I get upset with people, like, oh, you're so nice. No, that's not it. We were not called to be nice people. We were called to grow and be committed to Jesus in a way that his love is flowing in us and through us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't need just nice songs. He has called us to be dangerous to darkness, and that means humbling ourselves and living a life that the world doesn't get. Guys, I'm not trying to live this abstract life rejected by the world. That's not it. I want to follow Jesus and love the world. But he said this, if the world rejected me, it's going to reject you if you follow it. So I just want you to know, my goal is never to grow city things for the nice people. I want Jesus to become a display. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Stand with me, please. I want us to pray this week as we meditate on what does it mean for us to be a part of the body of Christ. As we think about the design of the body of Christ, and we ask God to make a bridge to allow us to understand sexuality in a different way. I want us to pray this week, God, what does it mean for us to walk worthy? Because we're coming right out of this passage, into this instruction, that we would walk worthy the calling by which we've been called. And I'm going to tell you, the context of that statement is not talking about your ministry assignment. It's talking about your call to walk in experiencing God's love together with the saints. I sincerely can look at Cam or can look at Jordan and say, I love you. And it's not because I'm trying to be nice, right? It's like I am connected to the Christ in them. And as I need to discover who, like, how God specifically made them, it's like, oh, this is awesome. This is not hard. It's not like a sacrifice to have to love people. If following Jesus is a sacrifice, it's something about his love that we're not getting. Does that make sense? Like, we're called to lay down our life, but it's not like a bad thing. It's like, wow, we need to follow Jesus. Whenever I love talking to a husband, it clicks with them. Because, like, beforehand, people think I'm prophesying bad things in their marriage. I'm not. But there are people that are like, man, like, hey, if you do this right, you're going to die. John and Anna are sitting on our couch on Thursday night, right before the wedding. And, you know, a lot of you have noticed that Anna and Jamie was, like, wedding in the middle of the field. That's what she pictured. That was the dream of her heart. That's what she thought the dream of her heart was. This picture of a wedding. And she, this is what she said. She said, I just feel like I've had all these expectations that have had to die so I can step into the purpose of life. Well, it sounds like you're teaching about marriage. And you're talking about marriage and wedding, it sounds like you're teaching about marriage. Of allowing my expectations to die. So I can come into the light of this purpose. How many of you know that's true? I told Anna yesterday morning, we're crying and praying together on the phone at like 7:15. I was like, Anna, I believe that God, she told me like 5 years ago, she said, the real dream of my heart is to see family restored. I want to see my family restored. How many of you ever said that? I want to see my family restored, and I want to see family restored. I said, Anna, I think that even in preparing for your wedding, God is giving you the ability to make choices that will be restored for you. By choosing to die. Choosing to let go. I don't think it's a mistake. We spent 20 minutes singing about giving it up and laying it down. Let's pray. Let's lean into that. Let's pray. God, all this is not about us. Not to us, but not to us, but to your name, glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where is your God? God, we pray that would be wiped out off the earth. That question would be wiped off the earth in our generation. Come on, you guys agree with that? God, we don't want anyone to say, where is your God? We want to see you on display. And God, we don't come from a place of superiority. God, we know we don't have to figure out where should come from. We all your feet. We help ourselves. We say we know there's so many people in the world that feel like you hate them. They believe that they are far from you. But God, I remember what Paul told them, that the people that were standing in an idol garden, He said, God's not as far away as you might think. God, we pray that our lives would be on display, that you are not that far away. Can you lay your hands on your heart? I just want you to begin to pray about your experiences day in and day out. I mean, like, what happens in your work week? What happens in your neighbor's lives? And you just begin to, like, speak to them in the spirit and just begin to say, God's not as far away as you might think. He's not as far away as you might think. Pittsburgh. He's not as far away as you might think, America. So, God, we just ask that you would put on display the glory, not for us, God, but so that you get praise, so that you get honor. God, we pray that any place that there is easily division between us, that God, we would recognize your desire is to destroy division. God, come destroy divisions between mothers and wives. Destroy divisions between fathers and their children. God, destroy division between brothers and sisters. God, destroy division in the church. God, we pray that as we understand your design, we would not tolerate division and just figure out how to assimilate that into our lives. I really want to just say right now, I would encourage you, just allow Holy Spirit to drop into your mind places that we've assimilated the vision and we think that's okay. God, begin to highlight it and point it out and eradicate it from our faith. Put display your wisdom, and God, come as we learn to love you more. God, come reveal the multifaceted dimension of your love to us. I pray that people would feel empowered to love with purity. Don't try to love and fear. They will not work together. God bless you to love deeply and purely without fear. And to be loved deeply and purely without fear. And Jesus, always, all of us is this love for strength. God, as we share a meal, we remember. As we take time to eat a meal together, this is not because we need to accomplish this on a calendar. It's because we're taking time to love you as we grow up to love each other. So thank you, God, for every person that will be here. God, we pray that you just release the blessing of your body. Release the blessing of your peace and rest of us as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name.